The one thing that most people do is we tend to, in this business, prejudge people. And we go, whether we're even just whether we're just cold calling people or whether we are at a party, we tend to prejudge people and say, oh, she might, you know, she won't book a party because of this reason. She's too busy. She has too many kids. She's too old. She's too young. We make all these reasons and we prejudge these people. And so I want you to, right now, and when you're listening to this tape in the future, stay away from the negative thoughts, and I want you to focus continually on the positive thoughts and the positive aspects of booking parties. You need to learn how to ask choice questions. Choice questions are something that gives you, an example is like, would you prefer this date or this date? You're given a choice between something and something versus something and nothing. If you cannot, now there's some, I'm going to also teach you how to ask questions that that can produce yes responses. When you ask questions to answer yes or no, that they can answer yes or no to, you have to make sure that you are going to get a yes response. So it's got to be a positive question that you're going to be able to get a positive response from. And one of the examples that I have here is, wouldn't it be wonderful for if you could get that item for $25 instead of $50. Now, when you're asking these questions, you've got to continually smile, nod your head up and down, and so all of us need to become head nodders. You need to, whenever you're asking yes questions, nod your head up and down. If you're listening to me right now, start smiling, nod your head up and down, and I want you to say to your, I want you to say, wouldn't it be wonderful to get that item for $20 instead of $50? Now, there's a reason you need to nod your head up and down. That is because whenever you do something like nod your head up and down, the person who is sitting across from you is going to also start nodding her head up and down, which is getting them nodding in a yes motion. It's very hard for someone to not to shake their head no once they are nodding their head yes, because you get the momentum going of nodding your head up and down, and if they try to shake their head no instead, it kind of gives them a whiplash effect here. So you've got to become a head nodder. It is so important that you not only when you nod your head that you're smiling. I didn't realize that I had done this for so many years until I started training and until I had listened to some other seminars, and one of them is David Cooper, and he talks a lot about asking questions. I had never heard of David before this past summer. And when I heard him, it was really funny, at the Direct Selling Women's Alliance convention that I spoke at this summer, and I heard David talking about asking questions and nodding your head up and down yes, and I'm thinking, wow, there really is something to this, and I didn't it was just something that I just naturally did. So become a head nodder, make sure you're asking questions, and I'm going to go into more some of the questions that you can ask but later on in the teleseminar. I want you to, when you're talking to people, you've always got to listen for the maybes. We tend to talk all over ourselves. What I mean by that is we start talking and we ask a question, but we don't allow that person to answer us. We don't pause for a breath. We might ask a question and then just keep on going because we are so afraid of silence. So when you ask a question, you need to be able to wait for an answer so that you don't step on yourself. When you ask that question, sometimes that person may answer that question with a response that's more something like a maybe. Some of the maybes might include, well, you know, I don't know if I know enough people to invite. I'm sure that almost everybody that's on this teleseminar right now has had at least one or two people say, well, I don't know if I can have a party because I don't know if I have enough people to invite. That's not a no. That is a maybe. You need to learn to listen for the maybes. Another excuse that, or you know, or maybe that they might say is, you know, I don't know if I can have a party. My house is too small. My house is really small. Or she might say, I love this one, my husband won't allow me to do parties. I got that excuse several times over my 22 years, and I'm going to stay away from that one. I won't even bother with that one. I'll just kind of give you a couple little ways that you can answer them. You can offer them, when you listen for those maybes, what you need to do is learn how to offer them alternatives. You might say, if the person says that her house is too small, well, you know what, even though your house is small, maybe you can have an open house, or you can have a nutty buddy party with a friend and do it at her house. Now, nutty buddy parties I talk about continually, that is where two people go together, have a party at the same time. So you have hostess A and hostess B. Hostess A sends a guest list, hostess B sends a guest list. You do two parties on the same evening at one of the hostess's house, either hostess A or hostess B. If hostess A says her house is too small, you're going to do the party at hostess B's house and do two parties at one time. You could say, if she says, well, I don't know if I know enough people to invite, you need to sit down with her and get her thinking. Now, in my workbook, I do have, It's a Party Out There workbook, there's a list in there that says 50 guests in 5 minutes. These are the types of things that you need to just have with you. Run some copies off, especially if you have the workbook, run some copies off of these 50 guests in 5 minutes, have them with you. If somebody says, I don't know enough people to invite, say, listen, here's a little list. This is just a mind jogger. So you can get on, you can sit there and you can start writing down some names, and you'd be surprised. When people say they don't know enough people to invite, and you give them a list like this that's going to just kind of jog their memory, then what happens is all of a sudden they start writing down, what do they need to invite? You really need to have 15 to 20 people in order to get a good party attendance, but you can do it for less, and there's different ways, and that you're going to learn some tips on the increase your party attendance, and I've got a full session here, so I'm not going to go into that, but what you need to do is give them ways to increase their attendance, but just also give them ways to start thinking of people to invite. Let's go back to the woman who says her husband won't allow her to have parties. Most of the time, it's not that he won't allow her to have parties. Maybe he won't allow her to have them in their home. So, or he just prefers that she doesn't. So, again, you could offer the opportunity to do it with a friend. So if Susie says, I really wouldn't mind having a party, but my husband doesn't like me to do those kind of things in my home, say, Susie, you know what, I totally understand there's some men that are like that. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a good friend or a family member that maybe the two of you could do a party together and do it at her home? And if she says, well, yeah, there's somebody, and you say, would your husband object to you being able to earn free and discounted products if you did it at somebody else's home? I don't think too many men are going to care if we get a discount on stuff that we're going to buy anyways, because I don't know about you ladies that are on this teleconference, but if I'm gonna, I know if I go to a party, I'm going to buy something. So if I'm going to buy it anyway, then all I want to do is know if there's a way for me to earn it or get it a little bit cheaper. And that's basically what having a party is all about.